Om Shanti. As you all know, the theme for this morning session is the efforts of the present time. So today, I want to begin this with a question. And the question is, did any of you ever use the word effort in your Laukik life? If you recall your Laukik life, did you ever use the word effort? The word effort. When I tried to recall, I found I never used it. Though efforts are definitely made in Laukik life too, everyone makes them. For example, to study, you know, to earn, to learn some skills, to go to a higher position or a higher status, or if someone is a Bhagat, then he makes efforts to meet God, so that God will fulfill his some desires. Efforts are made, definitely, you know. But I don't remember I ever used this word effort before I became a Brahman. Maybe any of you has used it. And when we become a BK, a Brahman, then this, the word effort as if becomes a synonym. You know, we use the word effort very, very often. And I was thinking that actually it is very right when we use the word effort after becoming a Brahman. Because the word in Hindi is purushartha. You know this? Purushartha. So this word purushartha is made of two words, purush and earth. So purush means soul, and earth means for the sake of. So purushartha means for the sake of the soul, for the soul. Or in wider terms, we can also say for souls, the souls of the world. This is purushartha. That is, any action which is done for the betterment of the soul, for the benefit of the soul, for the upliftment of the soul, for the elevation of the soul, is called effort. Purushartha. Right? And so, when we become a Brahman, so using this word effort is very appropriate. Because after becoming a Brahman, we realize that we are souls. And we have to elevate the self and also the souls of the world. And so therefore this word purushartha or effort suits very much. And moreover, when we become a Brahman, you know, our whole life transforms, which requires effort. Whole life transforms. You know, it turns into 180 degrees, right? From the level of feet, we come to the level of top knot. Just a great transformation takes place. Baba very often says that you are all hanging upside down. And then Baba turns you 180 degrees and makes you stand upright. So a big transformation, a great transformation takes place when we become a Brahman. And this is why to use the word effort for us is quite natural. It does not happen, you know, like when you do a somersault. In childhood especially, it is so easy to do a somersault. The body is very flexible, very, very easy. And if you ask a grown-up person, an old man, to do a somersault, what will happen? It would be very, very difficult. If at all he would be able to do it, it would take a hard effort, except some people who are doing exercises, you know, and their body is quite flexible, even in mature age. But in most of the cases, it would be very difficult, maybe impossible, to make a somersault when we are grown-ups, right? The same happens here, you know. Very often, except a few, come to Baba when they are in their adult age or reaching adult age. And some come often in quite old age. And so it is like a somersault, you know. And this somersault, the spiritual somersault, requires a true effort. And it does not happen in a second as for a child. You know, for children it is comparatively easy, like for our dadis. It has been very, very easy because they came to Baba as small children. For them, the world was this. They were as if born in this world. They were brought up in this world, physically and spiritually. So therefore, we can say that if this word purusharth or effort suits us very much, because we are aware that in this little time of confluence age, we need to take the soul to its highest level. So if we go back and begin to think of our journey after becoming a Brahman till today, so what kind of transformations have been taking place in our life, and what efforts we have been making up till now, and what efforts we need to make, actually, according to the need of the time, and where we are. So today I am going to divide this class into some stages, some steps. And so we need to see that where we are at present, though maybe some of us are very old in knowledge, and some are quite new. But new or old, according to the time of the drama, time of the kalpa, all of us have to reach that stage what Baba wants from us. Because time will not wait for the new ones that, oh, you are quite new, so I can wait for you to make effort to reach perfection. No, it won't wait. So if we start this, story of our Brahman life, what happens is, when we first come to Baba and become Brahman, not for the course, when we become a Brahman. When we become a Brahman, the first kind of transformation or first change that takes place is, I will call it the change of lifestyle. And change of lifestyle means our food habits change, our dressing style changes, color, choice of color for our dress changes. Maybe for many, the hairstyle also changes. Yes? And then even the setting up of our homes, you know, how we set up our homes, some pictures on the wall, some other kind of items which are in our homes before that, and after we become a Brahman, this also changes. And the purpose of visit to our friends and relatives, even this also changes. When we go after becoming a Brahman to our friends and relatives, or they come to us, the way we meet them is not the same as we used to meet earlier. Right? It's different. And so all these kind of changes which happen in the beginning of Brahman life, for me at least, they're quite external changes, and probably for most of you, or maybe for all of you, they are quite external changes, or we can say superficial changes. And these changes do not require much effort. They come to us quite easily. Yes? Agreed? Or somebody, for some, it took a lot of effort to change the food habits, or the hairstyle, or the dressing style, and so on and so on. Maybe for a few, but for most of the cases, it is very, very easy, and it happens very quickly. We quickly begin to put on white dress and badge, and even we take bag with Shiv Baba, and then a pen also with Shiv Baba, and diary with Shiv Baba, and everything very Shiv Baba. So we want everything, you know, very Shiv Baba, and we make Shiv Baba omnipresent. And this is why this continues on the path of bhakti, that we say that God is omnipresent. Actually, it is Brahmins who begin this tradition of making Shiv Baba omnipresent. And so this kind of transformation. Then, you know, one of the superficial or external effort is also when we are told that after going to toilets, for example, you have to take a bath and change the dress, and you don't have to be in the same dress, and so on. So these are external changes, which are not difficult. But then there is the next stage, then little deeper kind of change in our lifestyle. The same change in lifestyle, but deeper changes. And that deeper change is starting from getting up early in the morning. You know, I don't know, any one of you early, before you became Baba's child, used to get up at 4 o'clock. Raise your hand. Before you became Baba's child. 2, 3. At 4 o'clock. And who used to get up at 5 o'clock? 5, 6 people. Who used to get at 7 o'clock? Who used to get up at even 8 or 9 o'clock? Many. You see, that look, so this style, you know, getting up early in the morning at 4 o'clock, for most of the Brahmins, it is something which requires effort. Which requires effort, though we very much want. Probably for many, even now it is an effort. Even now, though they are in knowledge for 5, 7, 10 years, for some it is still an effort. Yes? Agree? It's not so, it has not yet become a nature. It has not yet become a sanskar. It has not yet become, so to say, a pleasure to get up early in the morning. So that you would just wait for when it would be 4 o'clock or 3:30, and I would get up and go and sit in Baba's remembrance. You know, but it takes effort to get up early in the morning. And for many I know, it has now become a habit. They get up even without alarm clock. They do not require that. But just getting up is not enough. After getting up, to sit in yoga and to be in yoga, to really be in yoga, so that I can say my Amrit Vela was really successful. This requires really a lot of effort. This is why even now we keep on asking this question to ourselves, and Baba keeps on reminding us that I ask to myself this question, is my Amrit Vela every day successful? Because we do come, especially when we come to Madhuban, we do want to come to the Amrit Vela gathering, we want to take the benefit of that. But if you observe, you will find, for most of the cases, for most of the Brahmins, it is a struggle. It is a struggle. They are struggling to awaken. They are not, leave aside being in that stage of powerful yoga, they are struggling to awaken, to be in an awakened state. So it requires effort. So the question is, which effort is required so that my Amrit Vela is really successful and I am contented with myself? We need to think about it, isn't it? Because we do want that it should happen, but it is not yet happening. So on what aspects I need to pay attention during my whole day so that the foundation of the day, Amrit Vela, is very good? Generally we say that the foundation of the day is Amrit Vela. If Amrit Vela is not good, the whole day will not be good. But other way is also correct. If the whole day is not good, the whole day is not passed according to Srimat and Maryada, Amrit Vela will not be good. Right? So if we want to make Amrit Vela good, so we need to just observe ourselves. Am I passing my day according to Baba's directions? I am eating, of course, sattvic food. I am in Madhuban. But am I eating it in Baba's remembrance? Did I offer bhog to Baba before I ate? Did I eat that much, as much I required, maybe little less, or I ate little more because it was very delicious? The greed did not disturb me while eating food, and so on. The same way, what kind of conversation during the day I had, where my mind was going. Was my mind, thinking of something external? Even if of Madhuban, oh, how beautiful the plants, how beautiful the flowers, how beautiful Baba's hut, how beautiful this and how beautiful that, buildings and this and that, and how beautiful is the atmosphere. Or I was going deeper in myself while enjoying this. But I was also trying to go deeper within myself, because it is very, very important to be introvert. Actually, the balance is needed, the balance of introvertness and extrovertness. We need not to be like isolated sannyasis or monks, but we need to keep this balance, cheerful, at the same time introvert. So some examples, you can think more about it. What effort I need to make so that my Amrit Vela is successful? Next effort which we require after becoming Baba's child is that traffic control. Before becoming Baba's child, we never even thought about it, that there is a need to practice to stop the traffic of our thoughts during the whole day. Just got busy in some of our worldly activities, with people, with this and with that, and that's all. We never even thought, we could never imagine. But after becoming Baba's child, we were taught that we have to practice traffic control. So for some, again, I would say, to physically stop, it has become a habit. Maybe for many, to physically stop. But as far as to stop the traffic of the thoughts, so that during that traffic control time, within a second, Baba very much loves this word, second. Very often he says, in a second. Now in a second go to Paramdham. So, have I made so much effort for my traffic control that within a second I am able to shift, I am able to transcend from this physical world or from my activity to that spiritual world, to Paramdham? In this also, I can say that not that much success is there. We do stop, but mind still goes on, going here and there. Just try to observe. At 12 o'clock there will be traffic control. For 3 minutes, see that, was it focused? Was your mind focused? Was your intellect focused? Observe it. This is called effort. I observe where my mind was going during that 3 minutes. I follow my mind. Where are you going? And then I see that in the directions in which it is going, why it is going there? What is interesting for me there? Mind goes there where it feels interest. Why my mind is going there? Is there a possibility to block that way? This is called effort. Training our mind. We train our... It's not that I sit physically, you know, unmoving, immovable, unstable, and I am in the state of yoga. No, it's not like that. I need to make effort. I need to give a direction to my mind. Oh, my mind. See, Baba. Give a direction. Put on your intellect. Oh, my mind. See, Baba. See, Baba in Paramdham. And see. See yourself. See Baba in Paramdham. Or, oh my mind, spin the Swadarshan Chakra. Whatever direction you want to give. But give a direction. Otherwise, it is impossible to use those 3 minutes in a worthwhile way. The 3 minutes pass just like that, and hardly for a few seconds or a minute we are able to be in that state of yoga. So this is second effort, which is little deeper in the change of lifestyle. The third in the change of lifestyle effort is coming to classes in the Murali class. Earlier we didn't think about it. Maybe if some of you used to go to temple or church, maybe once in a week, or maybe once in a year on the Christmas day or New Year day or something like that. But every day you have to come to the class. Even on Sunday, you never thought about it. So coming to class regularly, it is an effort. And not only coming to class regularly, but in time, it is more of an effort. Right? So some come to class every day, but when Baba is saying "Miche miche sikila de bachon prati," at that time, you know, the sweet, sweet, most beloved. So at least, you know, they could put the attendance, you know, in the register, but they didn't attend the class. Or some come at the time of even blessing, when Baba is giving the blessing. And so, now this is not effort. This is, at least this much, okay, little effort that I came to the class. But to come to the class regularly and in time, this is an effort. For I know, for many Brahmins, for some Brahmins, depending upon each center, it has, coming to class regularly and in time has become really a joy. A pleasure. They enjoy coming in time. Very much enjoy. They are very happy when, and they are very proud of this, that every day they are coming to class in time, and every day they are listening to the whole Murali. They are sitting for the whole time of practice of yoga. But this is second step. Now the third is, in this same point, that am I able to listen the whole Murali with full attention? This is another effort. Because during the class, some keep on coming, some keep on going, you know, coming and going continues. So, can I train my mind in such a way that whether whatever happens, coming and going continues, but my mind does not follow those people who are coming and going? My mind is focused. This is another effort. Isn't it? And many times it happens with the Brahmins when they suddenly come and say that, today Baba said in the Murli this and this. And I say, I didn't listen, Baba said this. From where you listen this? When Baba said in the Murli. No, Baba didn't say this. And from where they hear this? Because they heard half the sentence and half they imagined. And they are so sure that Baba said this. Or half they copy from their neighbor. Because they missed that point, so they copy from their neighbor. And the neighbor has written in his own way, and so they think that they have listened to Baba's Murli, and Baba said this in the Murli. And this, it is sometimes so much misleading, that it will not take you to your destination. Instead, it will take you away from the destination. Therefore, I always suggest that never, never, never copy from someone's notes. Never copy. It is very, very harmful. Because it can be quite misleading. If you have missed the Murli by chance, better to read the Murli. Take the Murli and read it. But don't read someone's notes. Because everyone writes in his own way, according to his own understanding, according to his own level of intellect, according to his own state of mind. You know? So, I should read Baba's Murli. I should listen to Baba's Murli. This is effort. And not just reading, but studying the Murli. What did Baba say? And in the same thing, next effort is revising the Murli. Revising the Murli, churning the Murli. Every day. Every day. Yesterday Dadi Janki said, see Mama and Baba, they are our parents, mother and father, and become like them. And, you know, she underlined that the children's features match parents' features. So even features, even physical features, you know, begin to change when our internal state begins to change. So we all know very well that how Mama and Baba used to churn every day. Once Dadi Janki was saying that she went to Baba before the class to say good morning. And Baba said to her, child, go to the class. Baba is cooking halwa for you and soon he will come. So you understand which is this halwa? So Baba was churning. Baba was contemplating Brahma Baba. Shiv Baba was, of course, you know that Murli, when Shiv Baba speaks, then Shiv Baba speaks and sometimes Brahma Baba shares his experience. So Baba said, Baba is cooking halwa for you. He will come and give you hot, hot halwa. So every day, Mama and Baba used to churn. So do I make this effort every day? Sit with a paper and pen. Make this effort. So this is called effort. In fact, this is the effort which should come in our life very quickly because it affects our whole lifestyle. This will change our way of thinking. This will change our mental structure. The structure of the mind will change, you know. If you develop this sanskar of churning the Murli, then you won't have to fight or struggle with your wasteful thoughts. Because you would so much enjoy playing with the jewels of knowledge. Then you don't have to, you know, deal with the stones, with the wasteful thoughts. So this is an effort. Then another effort is that which is very much required in our lifestyle is adopting purity. for some, those who are kumaris and kumars, it is comparatively much easy. And but for those who are married ones, living with their families, it does require effort. Because the obstacles come from outside and from inside. So the intellect says one thing and mind says something else, sanskar says something else, external situation says something else, from all the four different directions. And so to adopt purity also requires an effort. And for this, I would like to say that if we adopt this Brahman lifestyle, including purity, with understanding, with a conscious choice, then for me, making efforts is not easy. For me, convincing other people that I want to adopt purity is not easy. And rather, as my experience is, that even nobody will force you to lose your purity. I remember that I came as a young kumari, very little kumari, and I very much quickly wanted to, surrender my life for this university after my school. But my father didn't agree. He said, no, I won't. You have to continue with your education and so on. But he immediately told me, which is very much against our family tradition, He immediately told me, I was 1.5 years in knowledge at that time, that I will never, never, never force you or ask you even that you should get married. That is my promise. But as far as education is concerned, you should continue with that. So, when the family members see and observe that it is our way of life, it has entered in us, they just can't even think of shifting from the pure way of life to impure way of life, whether it is someone's husband or wife or parents or whosoever. They can't. But it has to be firm conviction inside, and for this effort is required. If it is something external force, I want to be a Brahman and Brahman means to adopt purity, then the struggle continues. I have seen some of the Brahmins who after 10 years, 7 years, 8 years, are not able to cope up with this sanskar of impurity. Though for 7-8 years they have been following purity, but ultimately they give up. Why? Because they had not made it their sanskar. They were only struggling. And if the effort takes the form of struggle, to which Baba calls labor, then it becomes really difficult, really difficult. Maybe even impossible to continue, because nobody loves laboring. Nobody loves struggle. And according to Darwin, to exist in the struggle, you need to be very strong. And to be strong, you need to make effort. And if there is no effort, only struggle, then the soul ultimately gives up. And so, what I would like to say here is that to be able to adopt purity to the deepest extent, to which not only celibacy, but so that even my dreams are pure, my thoughts, my vision, my attitude, everything is pure. What effort I need is, I need to, bring joy and happiness in my life. The super sensuous joy, the real joy. Because what I have, researched, so to say, seeing some of the Brahmins who give up after 7, 8, 10 years of maintaining purity and become impure. This has happened because they have not brought in their life that real super sensuous joy. They have not made it the way of their life. For them, the life in general has been like coming to the class or participating in some service, and that too some technical kind of service or some kind of a duty, and that's all. You know, which is called human relationship. So relationship with Brahmins, relationship with seniors, relationship with Baba, relationship with your elders, you know, relationship with the juniors, participating in the development of each other. If you do not do that in Brahman life, then there is no enjoyment. And everybody likes to be happy, isn't it? When you become a Brahman, you know, of course you leave that happiness of the physical world, mayavi happiness. Now, no films, no theaters, no clubs, and no going to restaurants and hotels and seaside and this and that. That is finished. And in Brahman life, if you do not have some other things, you know, something to replace that, then what will happen? Then this maya pulls the soul. Maya pulls the soul. And of course, Baba has cautioned us here about the company of not only the people, but also nowadays, so, you know, it has like a devil, it has entered everyone's home, this internet, you know. And through internet and through on these computers, people see so many kinds of things, all nonsense. And so control is required. And for that, you need to, because why people, you know, senses are pulled towards all these things? Because there is not satisfaction. The soul is not satisfied. The soul is not happy by coming in contact with Brahmins. And in Brahmins, they see only defects. Many Brahmins say that when we go to our offices, people there are much better than most of the Brahmins. Their behavior is better than many Brahmins. Their manners are much elevated than many Brahmins. And Brahmins are stupid and silly and this and that. They use such words after Maya takes over them. And you know, and so what happens after this? So when, if the Brahmin company they don't like, Brahmins are all stupid and silly and not wise and not this and that, then naturally Maya pulls them. Because their vision changes. Actually it is their own fault. Now they are not able to see something good in them. So they think others are better. So therefore this effort is required. Which one? To be able to see good in every Brahman. For maintaining purity. You know, in one of the classes I heard, probably it was last year, I liked it so much that we should be proud of each Brahman. Proud of each Brahman. After all, each Brahman is God's child. God has chosen him. It is God's selection. And each Brahman is going to become a deity, maybe the last number deity of the Silver Age, but still a deity, worship-worthy deity. So be proud of each Brahman. Maybe this Brahman has a number of defects, but still, because God has selected him, this way or that way, God will change him. Not today, then tomorrow. But you be proud of him or her and have love for that soul. Then this is called like nurturing each other. Nurturing each other. By this you are nurturing yourself and also the other person. And in one of the points which I heard last year was that we often say that see others as soul. See others as soul. But this is not enough. But see others with the eyes in which there is God's love. With the eyes full of God's love, see others with those eyes. And that love-filled eyes will pull other souls towards God. And this will give you the real experience of joy. And when the soul is fulfilled, you know, overflowing with that joy, with that love, then you do not require sensual pleasures. Then you do not need to see any films on TV or internet or to go in any such kind of company. This effort is required. When we observe Brahmins, you know, Baba says that Brahmin life means a life of supersensuous joy. But in most of the Brahmins, though there is a lot of transformation, but that happiness, you know, is not that visible. I think that for them, the period of struggle is going on. Some effort. Effort has taken the form of struggle. So this is why there is not that joy. And Baba wants that struggle should now finish. So this is another effort, you know, when we come to the field of service in Brahmin life. Another kind of effort, another stage. First was change in lifestyle. Another is when we become very much the part of this family, very much the part of the family and join in the service activities. When we just do not come as a student, but when we consider ourselves responsible ones, that we also have to do something. Then some other kind of effort is required. And, you know, that effort is that we need to very much learn the lesson of a detached observer. Because the closer we come to Brahmins, the more we come to know their sanskars, the more we come to know their natures, their behaviors, then we find the difference of opinions. When there are some meetings, then there come some conflicts because of different natures and sanskars and opinions. So this can take a very big form of maya for many. Many are just not able to bear it. And they just go away. But it requires effort so that maya will not take me away from God. I should understand everyone's sanskar are their own. I have to take it for granted because such is the drama. Everyone's nature is his own. And if I do not become a detached observer and do not learn that I should not come under the influence of the sanskars and the natures and the behaviors of others, and that I should not spoil my stage, then again the life will become a struggle. So this effort I require. Whatever sanskars others have, let me not come under their influence. I should have still that elevated vision for all the Brahmins. Whatever I can do, I do. Whatever I can offer, I offer. But I do not sulk. Sulking is a childish habit. It's not the sanskar of a grown-up Brahmin. So if someone has this sanskar even now, this should be finished. This effort is required, and for that we need to be a detached observer. And another thing here is that in a Brahman family, you know, you will always find that there are some people who are very much interested in so-called backbiting, talking at the back of others about the defects and weaknesses and so on. This Baba uses the word in Murli, jharmui, jhangmui. Such people are able to collect very, very many friends because they are so interesting things, you know, talking about this and that and third and fourth, all kind of news. Baba used to call it in inverted commas, golden toli, sunehri toli, not toli of eating toli, golden group, you know, but in inverted commas. So they collect and they gather and they talk about all useless things. So another effort which we require is protecting yourself from these golden groups, so-called golden groups. Understand? Because on one hand, they are very interesting. On other hand, they are very harmful. Very, very harmful. They are like, you know, like harmful, deadly harmful, you can say them. Deadly harmful. Every Brahman will have to face these situations, everyone. When people will try to take you away from the major Brahman gathering or from the teachers or from the seniors or, you know, somehow to turn away your intellect from, ultimately from Baba. So this effort is required, protect yourself. And so what effort you will do for that? To protect yourself. What effort? Huh? Get up and leave. Is it so easy if they are your friends? You will ask that question. How will it help that soul? Very good. Anybody else? Any practical experience? How to protect yourself from these golden groups? Relationship with Baba. Relationship with Baba, of course. With Baba, it is very much important. And what about family? You can't be alone only, isn't it? We are in the family. And in the family, generally it happens that some groups are created. And so this is, you are very right, that we should have the courage. The courage to say to these friends that please don't mind if I say no to all that what you are saying to me. I am not interested in this. You are my friend, but I am not interested in this. Like to the Laukik friends, you know, when they offer you to eat that what you don't want to eat as a Brahman. So you have that courage to say, I am sorry, I don't want to eat this. You can't force. The same is with Brahman friends. We should have that courage and not be afraid of losing them and remaining alone. There is quite a possibility that these people, if you leave them, tomorrow they will talk about you to somebody. Don't be afraid. Have that courage. You know, because if people are not engaged in churning and contemplating and in service, then something they have to do. They are interested in all these useless things. So we need to protect ourselves from them. Then further, which is very important effort, is to join in the service of the yajna. This is also an effort. Many people are afraid to take some initiative, to take some responsibility. But I can tell you on the basis of my own experience that unless you take some responsibility, you can't grow. Helping is one thing, but to taking responsibility and and also taking responsibility of if something wrong has happened by you, you know, if you did some mistake, taking that responsibility and taking the responsibility of correcting that mistake. This is the way to grow. Don't say that, I'm scared, I don't know whether I have never done it. Suddenly if something wrong happens, then I will be scolded. Then I don't want, I am very sensitive. If it is like this, then it is impossible to reach perfection. This is why Baba has said service is an equally important subject as other three subjects. And so, to join in service of Yajna, further, to make plans, this is an effort. Not just the one who executes the plan, but also to be the one who makes the plan. Use your intellect. Make some effort. Think how service can grow. I should not like just like be a puppet that I am told do this, I do this, I am told do this, do that. Yes, I should do that. But at the same time, I should also use my divine intellect to create new plans. Baba loves those children. How should service grow? What I can do to give Baba's message to others? This is also effort. And of course then to verify those plans, whether they are they can be implemented now, or they can at all be implemented, or they can be implemented in future. Not that I use my manmat and make plan and begin to do something, but I make my plans and offer those plans to the responsible instruments. So these are my thoughts. If these can be used, I would be very happy. That's all. And then, sometimes it happens is you come with a plan and then you are told to execute that plan. You came with the plan and you will be told to execute that plan. So some people are afraid of this, that if I will come with an idea, I will be told to do that. Better not to give the idea. No, make effort. Make the plan. Effort to make the plan and efforts to execute the plan. And here you need the effort to make other Brahmins cooperative in executing this plan. An effort required here is that I should be so loving, I should be so sweet in my nature that everybody loves to cooperate with me. They don't run away from me. They want to cooperate with me. They want to do something with me. For that I have to change my nature. Because with order you can't make others cooperative. With order you can force them to do something, but it would be for a little time. But to make others cooperative, I have to make efforts to make my nature sweet and loving. And being ready to cooperate with others. Right? This is all called effort. Otherwise, we are living a pure life, we are eating sattvic food, we are in good company, we are putting on white dress, we don't go to films, etc. So, fine, we are a Brahmin. But what further? We have to become an angel. We have to become a deity. From a thorn to a... Till today we are listening this Murli. We have to change from a thorn to a flower. Can you imagine? That means still some thorns are there. See? Still some thorns are there. So are we making efforts to pick out these thorns? Or I allow them to be with me? This is also an effort that I try to find which are the thorns still in me. Still they are there. Time and again they prick others. You know? Am I making that effort? So, this is, you know, regarding our different stages of Brahman life. Then one of the stages again in this is to sustain other Brahmins and enable them to grow. Even if you are a teacher or not a teacher, but to sustain other Brahmins, younger ones, and maybe even the equals, and maybe even the seniors, to sustain them, it is also an effort. So now let us be in true traffic control and be with Baba in Paramdham. So when we talk of sustaining the Brahmins, what I would like to say here is that we should also understand one point. It does not matter whether someone is old or new. For every Brahmin there is a possibility to pass through the stages of up and down. And because Maya is always very alert. And you know, there are some past karmic accounts also. So what I would like to suggest here is that whenever you observe any Brahman not in a very good stage, never reject or neglect that Brahman. Never criticize that Brahman. Never talk about, you know, in a negative way about that Brahman. Never. Because if we have a feeling of rejection and neglection for any soul, that pushes him down even further. It's not sustenance. It is like killing, you know. It is the time when that Brahman needs support. If you remember, Baba, this year in the first Murli, and earlier also in many Murlis, Baba has said, for Brahmins, you need to be cooperative, not to be a bestower for Laukic people, but for Brahmins, cooperative. So this is the cooperation, that number one, don't neglect, don't reject, don't talk about this Brahmin in a negative way, you know, and do not feel surprised even, what has happened to this? Happens because the battle with Maya is continuing. And so what is needed at that time is just pure love. Just pure love and good feelings. Sometimes you just have to be so careful that if you suddenly see this Brahman and maybe this Brahmin is not ready even to talk to you. He's so much in a bad state that he's not ready to intermingle with other Brahmins. So maybe he wants to remain isolated. Let it be. Just try to understand his feelings. Try to understand his state of mind. And accordingly behave. If he does not want to talk, do not talk. Just pure love. Just good feelings and good wishes. And I am 100% sure this works. This works much more than our words. Yeah? And this will help that soul to come out from that, you know, from that pit where he has fallen. This is called sustaining them. Sustaining not only just by giving knowledge or by sharing knowledge or by sharing experience. This is also sustenance. If some new ones come, for example, they do not know many things. If you guide them, if you tell them, if you share your experience, it is sustenance. It is good. But when such situations come, then our pure love and pure feelings and good wishes for this soul and hope, don't lose hope. Till the last moment. Like any good doctor never loses hope in any patient. He goes on making the best efforts till the last breath. So this should be our stage, like Baba is the supreme surgeon and we are his children. So we should not lose hope. And we should always encourage that Brahman. And encourage even others so that to lift up this Brahman. This will definitely help the soul to come out. And sometimes, you know, this kind of powerful attitude and pure attitude, it changes the mentality of that person. Why that Brahman is in such a negative state of mind? Because of maybe some unpleasant experience with others. And so our pure attitude, our powerful attitude, changes his attitude. This is our effort. Experiment with it. To use your powerful, pure attitude to change the attitude of others. This was today's slogan. This is called effort. And not just to criticize, oh, this Brahman is like this and that and so on. But am I experimenting with my attitude, how powerful my attitude is, that make that Brahman a worthy and a yogi Brahman? See? This is called an effort. So we should make such effort. And then, further is, as Baba says, that according to the present time, what effort is required. I come to now this point. In the first Avyakt Murli of this season, Baba said, the present time requires from you to be a constant bestower. Always loving and constant bestower. These are two words which Baba loves so much. One, second, and constant. Yes? Not 2 seconds. 1 second and constant. So, what to do to be always loving and constant bestower? To be always loving, I think there is no other way except to be absorbed in the ocean of love. Because Baba constantly loves, constantly, and loves everyone. And so when I remain absorbed, this is our experience, that when we are truly absorbed in the love of that ocean of love, then you will feel that you love so much everyone. Even if you know that person or do not know that person, but the love flows from you for everyone. It does not matter at all. You are acquainted or you are not acquainted. You know his language or do not know his language. Does not matter. But you know that this is a soul. Isn't it? Very naturally love flows from you. Do not need to even think that you have to express love to this soul. It flows. Like when Baba comes, whenever Dari Prakashmani comes, for example, you know. Just the love flows. It's that Dadi would just one gesture and so the half of the hall has tears of love in the eyes. See? Just one little expression. Because they're embodiments of love, you see. Dadi do not know languages of most of us, isn't it? But because she's so much absorbed in that ocean, that she is always loving. Always loving. And so Baba wants that if you are always loving, that then these past efforts which I mentioned earlier, you know, there will not be the word even effort left in our life. This word will finish. Life will become a pleasure. We have to reach that stage. From struggle to labor to effort and to pleasure. So going on this way. No struggle, no labor, no effort, only pleasure. And so Baba said, if now you make this effort of remaining always loving, then all these first 3 stages will finish and you will reach the stage of pleasure. You will not have to fight with obstacles. You will not have to make efforts to solve the situations and the problems. Situations will become, you know, suitable, comfortable. And if at all something will arise, you know that Baba is sitting there to help you. And no problem. And to be a constant bestower. Bestow, bestow and bestow. And Baba gave the whole Murli on this. Through your mind give powers, through your words give knowledge, through your acts give virtues, through your contacts give happiness, you know, give, 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 give. But how to give? How to give? How to be a bestower? What effort is required for that? Because knowledge, as far as knowledge is concerned, of course, we can give in words. For that also, effort is required to prepare, you know. If I have to give a class, for example, I have to make the efforts to prepare. If I have to give a lecture, I have to make the efforts. I have to give the course, I have to make the efforts. But when we talk of giving powers, giving virtues, giving happiness, you know, how to give that? This is not physical. Take and give. Maybe by giving gift you can give happiness. But sometimes even gifts don't bring happiness. Happiness is more subtle. And so, to be a bestower, we need to just be. To be. Be in that stage. Like the sun is sun, and this is why it bestows. Sun is in that stage of sun, and so it bestows, automatically bestows. And so we have to reach that stage of sun, for that effort is required. And that effort is, we need to become experienced. We need to make efforts to fill our stock. Stock of powers, stock of knowledge, stock of virtues, stock of happiness, stock of peace, stock of purity, stock of love, stock of everything. And for that, Baba says, you need to every day experiment with this or that aspect of spiritual life. Knowledge, yoga, dharana and service. Every day. And keep filling your stock. Fill so much so that not only you are able to sustain yourself, but you are able to sustain many. Just your company, just your presence, you know, fills the soul. Have you experienced it? That you are sitting with someone and the other person says, so much vibrations of peace are coming for you. You didn't say anything, but the person experienced that peace. I will tell you one of my experiences. Once we were called, in a round table in Parliament. And I had very little time, and I just had to speak a few words and then to go back because there was some program in Baba's center. And so after speaking, I said to the organizers, I'm sorry, I have to take leave from all of you because I have such and such program. And so the one woman who was sitting beside me, then she said to me, can you wait for a few more minutes? I said, something to be done? Oh, you know, such vibrations of peace are coming. I am feeling so happy. Just please keep sitting for some more time. You know, when she spoke, you know, it was really, you know, her eyes, her gestures, the whole being was speaking like this, that she very much is experiencing that what she wanted for a long time. And such kind of experiences actually we should increase. That should be our aim. is sitting with someone, the person is weak, and a weak person, a weak soul comes to you, and just you are with that soul for a few minutes, and that soul feels encouraged. Yes, I can do this. Earlier that soul was hopeless, and now after meeting with you, the soul feels, no, I can do it now. So increase this. This is an effort. Have this aim that no one should go from me empty-handed. In bhakti, they say that anyone who comes to God's door does not go empty-handed. Always take something from there, because God is the bestower. And which are the God's doors? Not only Baba's centers or Madhuban, they are of course doors to God's home. But each one of us is that door. Each one of us. Through us, they can reach God. Right? Through us, by entering this door, they can reach God. So if they come to God's door, they should not go empty-handed. Anyone and everyone. Maybe he is a Brahmin or a non-Brahmin. So this effort is required. This is the present effort. Requirement of the present time. Okay? And so when we will keep this aim, and I think then all the problems will be easily solved. Whether it is the question of Amrit Vela or the traffic control or coming in class or whatever. Because when we are lost in God's love, then everything is easy. God makes everything easy for us. He is called the one who makes difficulties easy. And so therefore, when we will pay this attention, we will make this effort of being a bestower, then we will reach the stage of pleasure, super sensuous joy. That would be the real stage of a gop and gopi. No? We say the ask super sensuous joy from gops and gopis. See? After becoming gops and gopis, only then we can become shaktis. Only then we can become shaktis. So first we need to make this effort that our life is a life of joy. Everybody is attracted towards this life. Then we will say that we are true gops and gopis. And then we will become Shiv Shaktis, and we will be able to shoot the arrows of knowledge even to those who are great authors of scriptures and Vedas and everything. Because then there will be power in our words. Then there will be power in our vision. Then there will be power in our personality. And so with this, I finish here and wish very much that your stay in Madhuban will be such that all over, wherever you go, everywhere, everyone feels that it is a gathering of bestowers. Om Shanti. Now we sit in the remembrance of that supreme bestower for a few minutes.